Streaming.afa.net has now become AFA Stream, and you can find it at stream.afa.net. You see, we've removed the letters ING. Our experts have determined that eliminating those three keystrokes, multiplied over hundreds of thousands of AFA Stream visits, could reduce the national debt and maybe increase the gross domestic product. AFA Stream, formerly streaming.afa.net. Improvements to the economy are purely theoretical. Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome again to today's Issues. I say good afternoon to those of you listening in the Eastern time zone. Appreciate you listening to American Family Radio. Tim, Wesley, Steve Paisley, Jordog. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, everybody.
And Ray Pritchard. Ray's in Kansas City. We're in Tupelo, MS. Hey, Ray and Steve, and Wesley, I want to talk to y'all about something just before you jump into the news, Steve.
Yeah.
This is a news story, but I wanted y'all's thoughts on this.
Oh, by the way, just really quick, Walker wanted a response to your four words. He came back with two. You're fired.
You're fired.
Yeah. You're talking about half hour?
Yeah. Yes. Dad blew right over my joke, and most people wouldn't know it. But here's the thing. Around the office, Walker and I pick on each other a good bit. And once a week, I make sure to yell down the hallway where everyone can hear that Walker got it wrong.
And now it doesn't matter whether it's even an issue. You just say that where everybody can hear it.
Now, of course, I leave it open-ended, and I leave the question there, like, what did he do? And then I go back to work.
Right. So it's just left hanging out there among six or eight members of the staff to know.
So with all that said, now we have included the today's Issues audience in on the joke. So now when you see Walker or you call in on his program on Wednesdays or whenever it is, y'all can help participate. All right. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
You're fired.
Sorry. Maybe that was on my phone. He replied. Maybe he's talking to me. I'm going to get Dad to rehire me.
Well, that's been, I think Donald Trump has got the copyright on that.
No, you're fired.
It's true. I didn't mean to derail you there, Tim.
No, you didn't derail me.
You got to get it.
I can derail myself. And this is this involves the war between Russia and Ukraine. And that's kind of it's kind of the fifth story now in the news, right? If it even makes it, Ray. Because it's been going on like how long now?
What is it? Is it a year and a half, 2 years, something like that?
Since February of 2020, they took over Crimea in 2014.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when Russia invaded.
The current
Ukraine. Yeah. When did that start? Russia invades Ukraine.
Seemed like a long time ago.
2021, beginning of 2021, Russian military. Okay, wait. Early 2022, Russia recognized as an independent state.
Are you reading about when the invasion took place? This is important, so go ahead.
On February 24, 22, Putin announced a special military operation to demilitarize and denazify Ukraine, claiming Russia had no plans.
So it's almost 2.5 years.
2.5 years in a war that most people thought would have been over in weeks, with the Russian army causing the Ukrainians to surrender.
Right.
Ray, isn't that's what most people thought?
Oh, I think I would have guessed a week max for the invasion, and it's over.
And yet, the Ukrainians have fought off the Russians now from completely dominating their country for 2.5 years. It's just been like a back and forth there. I was reading a letter from somebody I know personally the other day who has family in Ukraine, and they were just basically so distraught and upset because so many so many Ukrainians and Russians too, but Ukrainians have been killed by the Russian bombs, and it's just war is hell, as they say. But the reason I bring this up now is that the Russia president, Vladimir Putin, is continuing to blame the West for his nation. I'm reading from the Fox News story. The West for his nation's difficulty subduing opposition forces in Ukraine. The Russian president told regional governors and national defense officials on Monday that the Ukrainians' military current campaign in the territory of Kursk, K-U-R-S-K, that's my pronunciation. Is that Russia?
Yeah, that's in Russia. That's Kursk.
So the Ukrainian army is actually in Russia right
that's
now.
That's exactly right. Right.
He said the West, this is Putin again, this is what I want to talk about. The West is fighting us with the hands of the Ukrainians, Putin told them at his home outside the capital city of Moscow, according to a report from the New York Times. Then he said this, Putin did, the enemy will certainly get the response he deserves. I don't know who he is exactly. Maybe he just, and all of our goals, without a doubt, will be accomplished, end of quote. So my question, Ray, and then Steve, Ray, you've been to Ukraine, what, couple times?
Twice, yeah.
What's going to happen there? It sounds like Putin is reaching his wit's end with the war, and his country it's got to be very unpopular. Of course, he's a dictator, so you would have to have a coup against him. But it's just sounds like to me, especially if you get into a change in the White House, which favors Ukraine, or whatever. I don't know what exactly Trump's policy is. He hasn't been definitive on that, except he would end the war in 24 hours, whatever that means.
Right.
But
right.
Could Putin get desperate and launch nuclear weapons, that kind of thing? I mean,
well, he has that at his disposal. Surely that would not happen, because you would have crossed over the threshold into world war. That's like asking, in an analogous sense, could the Iranians, if they indeed have nuclear capability, could they launch it against Israel? Well, sure, they could, but that would actually get us into World War III. Last night, President Trump, he just says whatever comes to his mind, and he said that when he's elected in November, between the time he's elected and before he takes office, he's going to get on the phone with Vladimir Putin, and he's going to solve this thing. And he made it sound like, a couple of phone calls. Putin, he said, is his very good friend. So maybe that's a way out of this if President Trump is reelected. But here's the other thing, Tim, and I think it's very interesting, is that clearly the Russians were caught off guard by what the Ukrainians did just in the last couple of weeks. For somehow, and it's hard for me to understand this, given all the advanced surveillance everybody has, somehow the Russians either didn't see or didn't believe that the Ukrainians would ever dare to invade Russian territory. And that's exactly what they did. And they've moved out of Ukraine into up toward the area around Kursk. And I read yesterday that so far the Ukrainians actually in about a week and a half have taken more territory than everything Russia has gained in 2024 in the eastern part of Ukraine. So it's a major problem. It was an unexpected incursion. And I think Putin is at the end of his tether. Last thing I'll say, Tim, is that if it's just a fight, okay, if it's just a fight between Russia and Ukraine with no outside help, there's no way Russia loses that, because they're so much bigger. Their armed forces are so much bigger. But now you've got the Poles and you've got the Germans and you've got the Czechs and you've got the U.S. and Great Britain providing all this advanced weaponry. It's hard to see an end to the conflict as it stands now, unless somebody does something like what Donald Trump says, gets on the phone and says, we got to end this today, because I would have said 2 weeks ago, everything was in Russia's favor, But now with this incursion into Russia, it has gone back into balance. Maybe it now favors Ukraine.
Two things. One, doubt Donald Trump at your own peril. It's unlikely he could get on the phone and just solve it, but you know, no one thought he could do the Abraham Accords either. Remember that Russia banged their head against the wall in Afghanistan for 10 years. They had nuclear weapons at the time. They didn't use them. And so they just don't, I mean, that was their Vietnam, and I don't know if history's taught them any lessons, but they could prosecute this thing for just a long, long time and draw it out.
Well, I don't know all the politics of Russia versus Ukraine. I mean, I've read, and I know that there are a lot of people on the conservative side in the U.S. who would say Ukraine is worse than Russia. Okay, there are a lot of people who would say that, and they have their reasons for it. That aside, I don't want to get into that. I would just that part of it. I would just say this: I am in admiration of the fighting spirit of the Ukrainian people against the Russian
invasion,
the Russia invasion, and the military might that they have thwarted for 2.5 years. The Zelensky fella, is that his name, Ray?
Yeah, that's him. Yeah.
Okay, again, he may be stealing us blind. I don't know. That's, you know, I mean, right. You hear these stories, right, and everything. Right, like, right. I understand. I'm just saying that guy I admire him for being able just to stand up to Putin and the massive disadvantage he was at. Again, I don't want to get into arguments with people about, you know, what the reasons why most conservatives disagree with helping the Ukrainians. But do you understand what I'm saying, Ray?
Oh, 100%. Okay. Look, this isn't really about Zelensky.
Right.
The ethics of what he has done, that's for other people to decide. But the Ukrainians have fought harder and longer and shed far more blood in this war than anybody thought possible. Tim, I will say this. I'm sure Mr. Putin now knows he miscalculated. I think he thought it would be a cakewalk or a week-long battle or a two-week-long battle.
The Russians have lost how many people? Like, I don't know. I don't know. I'd have to look it up. Tens and tens and tens of thousands.
Oh, yeah, more than that.
Of troops.
Hundreds? Hundreds of thousands, yeah.
So that land, that Ukrainian land over there on the east side of Ukraine is just littered with dead bodies. Right?
Yeah.
I say littered with. That's
well, and that's part of Mr. Putin's calculus in all of this. He is willing to do what a lot of other people wouldn't do. He is willing to sacrifice his own soldiers to prosecute the war against Ukraine.
Up to 500 estimated casualties during the Russian.
500 what?
500,000. Half a million.
That's what I'm saying. You walk every six steps over there in eastern Ukraine, you're going to run across a dead body.
Right.
And that's what that looks like with 500,000. We the United States lost 400,000, I think, in World War II total.
Yeah. Yeah.
Total.
How many on the Ukrainian side is there? Can you guys find out the number of estimated? I don't know.
Ukrainian deaths
Ukrainian. Ukraine war casualties near 500,000, according to U.S. officials. This was as of August 18th.
Oh, we misunderstood. I thought you were talking about the Russian army.
Is there an estimate on the Russian side?
500,000 Ukrainians have died?
This is from the State Department.
U.S. State Department.
This is a congress.gov document. Troop deaths and injuries in Ukraine war near 500,000. U.S. officials say Ukraine and Russia have lost a staggering number of troops, and Kyiv's counteroffensive drags on. This is, again, 2023. Total number of Ukrainian and Russian troops killed or wounded since the war began 18 months ago is nearly, Ukrainian and Russian, it says, 500,000.
The war itself between both countries on both sides total, combined, there's been a...
I got you. Yeah.
Russia, 300,000, and then... It would be about 200,000, 170 to 180,000.
Well, no doubt Putin felt threatened by, what was going on in Ukraine. Ukraine provoked some of this, I think, with some of their – huh? Don't you think so, Ray?
Sure. Sure.
Ukraine provoked some of this with their actions, and Putin was also a very paranoid guy. And so he could give you solid reasons why he went to war with Ukraine. But it's just tragic and sad, the loss of life on both sides, and where this goes after the presidential election, I don't know.
Sure. Just for complete clarification, what we mentioned just a while ago as far as numbers go, between the war and total, there's been 500,000, if you combine both sides, of casualties as a result of the war. So, but think about that for itself for just a moment. 500,000
people.
Dead.
And not to mention the destruction of houses, homes, infrastructure.
Businesses, obviously.
Yeah. Have you talked to anybody in Kyiv, Ray, at all since the war?
I have talked to people who have talked to the folks in Kyiv, and the destruction, the death. You know, that 500,000, we're talking soldiers there. We're not talking civilian casualties, which is always a much greater figure. I would say among people I know, because I want to clarify this, among people I know and the folks that we've worked with over there, the anger they feel toward the Russian army is there's almost no limit.
It's generational.
Yeah, it's generational.
The hatred that especially the Ukrainians will have for Putin and Russia will go on generationally.
Yeah.
That's just the reality of it. But I just wondered, what provoked me to bring this topic up was just reading Putin's comments. Just he's sounding more like, you know, he completely and totally is blaming the West, i.e. the United States, Great Britain, Germany, for this going on and on and on, because the West has been funding Ukraine. Otherwise, he would have swallowed up Ukraine pretty easily.
I don't know if pretty easily, Tim, but his basic point is right. If America
had not funded Ukraine, this war would have been over.
That's right.
But they would have taken over Ukraine. Ukraine would have become Russia.
Right.
Yes.
Right? Back like in the days of the USSR.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Next story, Steve.
All right. Let's take a look. We kind of looking at the history of Tim Walz and what he's done in Minnesota. And I came across some video, which we have the audio from, of the National Guard in Minneapolis. Now, there's a little confusion on my part because it wasn't very clear whether this is the National Guard, whether it came as a result, this was happening because of COVID. And they did deploy National Guard troops during COVID. That's the general thought I have from the comments that accompany this audio on my Twitter feed, but they also deployed troops during the George Floyd riots. There was a curfew put in place, and you're going to hear the National Guard warning people to get off their front porch. The video has these people are on their own front porch wearing masks, and the National Guard says, light them up. And then they are shot with paint guns. Hmm. So take a listen to the cut.
What does this have to do with
Tim Walz mobilized the National Guard in Minneapolis to fight COVID and the Floyd riots?
So he's responsible for this, what we're about to hear?
I don't know if he personally did the rules of engagement. But
well,
yes.
That seems like what we're inferring.
Well,
by running this story.
What... This happened under his watch. He was one of the worst COVID lockdown governors.
Okay.
I don't know that he
said. I just want to put some context in here if we're going to play something.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a fair, and there's some things I don't know about this. What I do know is it's a legitimate video of the National Guard taking people off their own front porch in Minneapolis by troops that were deployed by Walz.
For the COVID.
Every video, everybody that posted this says it was because of COVID.
Gotcha.
And so, yeah. So let's do the 10 that we can talk about it.
And if you pay attention, you'll hear the police say, get in the house. You'll hear several commands, and then you'll hear, light them up. And then that's when you get the fire. We'll play it again.
You know, this is...
Get in your house now! Let's go!
Light them up!
Go inside now! Get in the house!
Get in.
And if you pay attention, you'll hear the police say...
That's awful, what I'm hearing there. You're saying that's the Minnesota National Guard during COVID. Was anybody ever, somebody got that on video. Anybody ever held to account for this? Do you
Not
know?
Not that I know. It's just coming out now. It's just coming out now because of the his appointment. So as his nomination.
Were there housebound rules in Minnesota?
Yes. Yes.
Stay in your house?
There was a curfew that was put on.
I think we forget those days. Because in Mississippi,
we didn't have that in Mississippi.
Well, no, because I refused to participate in it. But there,
I mean, we didn't have an order from. I don't remember any states that had stay-at-home orders. Do you, Ray?
What about California? I don't know.
No, there were. It was way worse than we care to remember. Now, again, we live in Mississippi, so it may have.
Yeah.
But you were told not to go to church. If you went to church, you got.
Well, they told churches don't open, but they didn't say you can't leave your house, and you can't go outside on your front porch like this guy, that lunatic you hear screaming at those people. Get in.
Gavin Newsom had some fun with this. We'll go back and we don't have it in front of us. We can do some digging. That may be a fun day. Just go.
So
back
what's the point of airing that, Steve?
Well, he's a. People have accused him of being a socialist, a communist type of authoritarian.
Is that his fault, what we heard?
Well, it's under his watch, and I would have to think that he imposed the curfew. So
the governor was in all the states responsible for the COVID restrictions, which is why I thought it was it worked out. We saw visibly during the COVID lockdowns that the red states got turned back to more.
Let me just caveat this also, is that in my mind I'm thinking it could have also been the George Floyd riot times, because the guard was deployed in both.
You would have had a curfew then, because people were burning down the city and all kind of things.
But I still wouldn't think that they would shoot them off of their own porch.
What's your funny story over there? We got a minute to go.
Oh, I do, don't I? Yeah. Sorry about that. I didn't know. We have a food service worker in Chicago that was stealing some COVID funds. Stole $1.5 million worth of chicken wings from her school, which is a school lunch lady that stole $1.5 million worth of chicken wings.
Where'd you put them?
That's what I was going to ask.
I know. That's
you can put chicken wings in your pocket.
I can put them away, but even that's a little bit much.
How much did she steal?
$1.5 million in chicken wings.
Well, let's say
that's
a
lot of chicken wings.
Let's say you really.
Are you serious, Clark?
Yeah.
Where are you reading this?
Vera Liddell, 68, was working for Harvey School District 152 when she placed orders for the chicken wings with a food provider for the district. Billed the district while she kept the food.
I think she didn't get caught because she bought others off by giving them free chicken wings. Chicken wings. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Kind of like crack. For some people, that's like crack cocaine.
Yeah.
Maybe.
What's your name?
Liddell.
It was a DoorDash order.
First question is
Vera Liddell.
Over what period of time?
She had it going on.
One really big order.
Really. July 2020 to February 2022.
It was a racket she had going on there. Working as and you thought she was an innocent kitchen lady.
Right.
Kitchen school lady. No. By day. By night, she's a chicken wing.
Thief.
All right. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you back here tomorrow.